Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming up right now, we go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome in one of the very best, one of the friends of the show. Zach Jackson joins us on the show. I can't even say that without laughing. Zach Jackson joins us on the show this morning. Hello, Zach.
That warms my cold heart.
No, your heart's as cold as sandwich meat, man. I know that you're a nasty person. We all know that deep down. Yeah, listen to him
absolutely
chuckle.
Absolutely, I've never run from that. Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the way you are. You are what your record says it is. Zach Jackson joining us on that North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Zach, you had an article that came out yesterday on The Athletic. Lima, you were bringing this to light yesterday. Now, exactly what you had heard, Zach, what exactly went down on Friday to Saturday with Josh Gordon at the facility and everything else?
Well, he had permission to be in there to do what people thought was a photo shoot for his clothing line, but it was a commercial shoot for his personal brand for a comeback video. It was different than a documentary they're participating in. But the bottom line is, at about midnight, or between 11:30 and midnight, he got hurt, and then when he showed up in the morning late, he wasn't able to play. So it was way less about you know, what the incident was and the fact that there was just one more incident. The Browns finally realized they were going to be at a breaking point. I mean, you do this, and they did amazing things to get him back, so you have him for the games. You never have him in practice, and that's an issue, and you hear Todd Haley talk about it, and you see it in the quarterback's eyes for years. So you finally have him for practice. You're finally getting ready for the game, which really and he's not available. So it was like, you know, people say, well, that's a hell of a last straw. Well, yeah, well, you know, there were 17 straws. So they did. I think, unfortunately, this was an inevitable ending. I think they did right to say we're going to get something for him, but it was beyond time to move on, and eventually they were going to have to pick a day. And I think they just felt Josh picked it for them on Saturday morning.
Zach Jackson with us right now on the hotline with these new details about Josh Gordon, his trade from the team. I know you're very hip with the younger culture today, Zach. How many other teams in the NFL would have even granted a player like Josh to come in and film something like this at the facility?
I don't think that's the big deal, Anthony. I really don't. I think it was the misleading of what was going on. He's taking some pictures for your clothing line and using their background is different than you've practiced. You have a game in 2 days and you're going through a 90-minute workout. So I think that was the deal. As far as how many other teams, two things struck me on Saturday evening when the release was official. I got more texts from people wondering about their Josh Gordon and their fantasy teams than exactly what happened. But I also got texts from people that work for at least three different teams saying, I know this guy has problems, and well, whatever happened, I would take him.
I'm kind of fascinated by that. Zach Jackson joined us on the hotline, also A to Z podcast, NE Athletic, because this is a guy who, I mean, go ask Kyle Shanahan what he thinks of Josh Gordon, one of the most talented guys we've seen in this league in the last 15 to 20 years at wide receiver, and yet that's a guy that probably wanted nothing to do with Josh Gordon. I'd love to know what Brian Hoyer would think in that locker room about Josh Gordon and the kind of impact he'll have on a football team.
Well, Brian Hoyer would know as well as anyone. I mean, when you ask about what's next for Josh Gordon, my answer is anything is possible. Any ending is possible in New England. And for the Browns, they needed to know that the answer was going to be engagement, progress, doing the right things, unselfishness, showing up on time. So, like I said, it was cool for me journalistically to nail down the timeline of what happened and have people say this is why, but it all came down to he's late and they're on Saturday morning, having one more discussion and deciding this is the last time that we have this discussion because we just can't do it anymore. And so a lot of us outside had wondered why it took that long, and that's fair. But the reason you stick with him is because you had minimal financial commitment and high potential upside, but it was only potential. He was always a part-time player. He was always on his own schedule. So the Browns just didn't have trust, and it was time to move on.
If Josh ends up having the rest of the season a crazy turnaround, like 2013 when he had 1,600 yards in 14 games, if he has that kind of season with New England and they're going to the Super Bowl and he's helping them win a Super Bowl, is it LOL Browns again? Because I don't think it should be, because I don't think it was ever going to happen here.
It's definitely 216-578-0092.
Oh,
but you're right. It wasn't. It wasn't going to happen here. So that's the thing, you know. It wasn't whatever Michael Kendricks told the Browns. You know, the Browns said, "Okay, we're done with you." When this came out, Seattle says they'll take them, right? The Browns had Callaway and Gordon on a – you can't have day-to-day guys, right? And if you do, they have to be really good. So I think, you know, right now it's a story, and it's strange. And people who were constantly beating the Twitter drum and constantly thinking this guy was a knight in shining armor who showed up every, you know, year and a half or whatever, he wasn't. So those people are let down by that. But bottom line is, Callaway is one of the fastest guys in the league and is just starting to get it, and just go with him and see what happens there, because he's not on a 17th chance. He's only on a second with the Browns, right? You always have to take chances on guys. You always, the day-to-day, week-to-week nature of the NFL is what it is. And these guys live in the extremes and teams live on the edge with them. But so many times when you don't know what a guy is going to be morning to morning, the morning before a game, then you just can't do it, regardless of how talented he is.
Zach with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You said that you talked to some people from some other teams who said they would take him, but why wasn't there much of a market that we heard? Did they play this wrong, or did they play this right by saying that, yeah, we're probably going to release him on Monday, and then all of a sudden they started fielding, from what we heard, fielding some calls?
I mean, I think, Ken, big picture, I think they played it right. I am not privy to the details of who called Dorsey and what he told them. But I do know in this situation, you know, this isn't, you know, your owner has to sign off on getting Josh Gordon, right? And you have to look and say, for your locker room, Anthony mentioned the quarterback who has a history with Josh Gordon, you know, in ways I'm not sure I can talk about here on the show or not. So you have to take all of those things into account and then say, okay, what will we give up? And we know a fifth round pick, especially to a good team, is, you know, it's valuable for the Browns if they can use it to do what they did with Landry and Randall and whatever next year. And it's valuable in Twitter arguments when you're stacking in matching things on the spreadsheet, but it's not all that valuable. Still, it is an asset, and you organizationally are saying we're going to give something to bring in this guy who's on his last strike and who clearly had worn out his welcome in Cleveland. Not everybody's going to sign off on that. So, you know, people are going to say yes, and offensive coordinators and receivers coaches specifically are going to say we want that guy. But actually wanting that guy and going through the process of actually getting him are two totally different things.
What do you think of Tyrod so far?
Just okay. I obviously the last couple of drives speak for themselves, and that was a big time pro. You know, I think he's been as advertised, which is good and bad, and more bad when you're not winning and when you are turning the ball over, even though it's only been a couple of times. So I wrote in June that this was a one-game season on Thursday, September 20th. And even though it's been obviously a hell of a ride so far, I finally got one right.
Well, fine. I don't like telling you got one right. Zach Jackson with us on the show. Well, okay, say they win on Thursday. Do we calm down? No one's going to calm down about Hugh Jackson, obviously. He could go serve people free ice cream, and no one's going to calm down. But
that's right. That's right, and I'm partly guilty of that.
Well, it's just the truth. We know what the record is. Do people calm down a little bit about Tyrod, though?
Because there's no game on the weekend. Ken, this is – the Browns are back to being a nearly legitimate real NFL team. They play they have good players. They play wild games that come down to a few bounces. And on Mondays, people are calling your show, picking out little things and nitpicking and being super angry, obviously, because of how these two games have ended, right? But that is tremendous progress. Like, you're nitpicking and you're angry and you expect better rather than you got your ass kicked. Sure. So I think that being said, the defense has played over anyone's expectations and the offense has just been okay. So, you know, I don't think organizationally there's plans to make a quarterback change for a while. But the offense has clearly been behind and has to be better if they're going to win anything at all. So I think that's kind of where it is. And if Tyrod continues to do his job and they get at least a couple of wins along the way in this stretch where they're going to be more close competitive wild games, then I think Tyrod is the quarterback, you know, for a significant number of more weeks than we see. If they lose and he has another dud on Thursday, then we know what's going to happen outside, and I can't speak for what will happen inside.
Zach, a lot of teams have new offensive coordinators in the NFL. A lot of teams have revamped players on their offensive line. Why can't this team in particular score touchdowns, especially when they're being gifted a short field as many times as they've been?
Yeah, I mean, the passing game has had issues, and the running game, I think, has had three good quarters out of 8, 9, right? So you need to stretch defenses. You need something to make it happen. Do Duke and Chubb need to get more of a shot running the ball? You know, schematically, do you need to do things differently? Now you get, even though it's just a 1.5 practice week, can you get Antonio Callaway more involved? You know, can you push the ball down the field by design? I think all of those things. I mean, this team needs Njoku and Duke to make plays. Njoku has some drops. They haven't gotten the ball to Duke. You know, I don't know exactly all that's gone into it, but until you can really stretch the defense and keep them honest, it's going to get tougher. And until they hit some deep, especially the Jets with as good as their safeties are, I mean, they are going to sit at 6-7 yards and just dare the Browns to do something besides run off tackle and throw short to Jarvis Landry, and we'll see what happens.
Zach Jackson joined us on the hotline. Was it an organizational failure that Zane Gonzalez came into the season as the starting kicker for the Browns? Was it dumb luck that he could be this bad through two games, especially two missed extra points and two field goals in a game you lose by three?
Oh, I think the snap judgment is that it is. You know, they held a competition. Ross Martin's a local kid and a nice kid. I don't think he's an NFL quality kicker. He hasn't shown up anywhere else. And they needed a guy and they didn't call him back. So, I think it was probably always the concern was more in Zane's head than with his leg because he has plenty of leg. But the reason they had to cut him is because there was just no trust he was going to make the next one from him, from the coach, from anyone watching. And so, you know, when he missed that extra point specifically, you're screwed. What are you going to do? Now, the Saints probably go down and get a field goal of their own, but the circumstances are totally different in that game, right, if he makes that extra point. So is it a failure on some level? Sure. But, you know, this is an experimental year. It really is. So if number 12 and the kicker got to go, then they weren't going to be here anyway. And that's probably the answer if you step back and take the emotion of the first 2 weeks and all this craziness out of it, right? So we'll see. The thing with that, though, is you just never know. I mean, 6 weeks ago, it would have seemed silly to step in front of the Tyrod train, right? And now I think it's a valid question to ask why a 23-year-old rookie quarterback isn't playing that was drafted number one. I'm not saying what's right. I'm saying it's a valid question to ask. So a lot changes, and this is the experimental year. And the Browns, a year from now, the pressure is going to be on to contend for something. Ooh. Right now, it's just you got to win because that burden, because this is, you know, the past matters nothing almost always in the NFL, but it matters to the Browns. They got to get off the schneid, right? And then when you go from there, you evaluate, as I said, the progress, the close games. Sometimes you get the bounces. Sometimes you see, you know, players that are worth keeping. Sometimes you see issues, and you got to ditch them. And in the scope of that, 12-2 probably weren't going to be here in a year.
Zach, one last stupid thing, and you guys can all make fun of me, and I know you will. We do this from time to time. They had workouts for kickers yesterday, right?
Yeah, four of them, I believe.
Where did they work out?
Probably on the back fields at the facility. Now, I do think
why don't they do it at the stadium?
Well, because everybody's there. It's just how it works. I do think they will make time to get Greg Joseph. Is that even his name? I'm sorry.
I'd like him to see the stadium that he's going to be playing in this week. I don't know. Maybe silly me for asking the question, Zach. I don't know. I know teams don't work out like this, but maybe. Somebody take an Uber ride over to the stadium and get the guy's ass kicking in the actual stadium that he's going to try to win a game in on Thursday night on national television. Sorry for asking a stupid question.
Yeah, no, I think they will. And back in the Phil Dawson days, the kickers used to have one practice a week at the stadium. They would go in the morning while the team was meeting, and then they would just stand on the sideline during the real practice except for one. So I am sure – or close to sure that the Browns will get Greg Joseph in that stadium before Thursday afternoon. But I am also close to sure that the actual workout would take place at Berea. They also had some receivers in. You know, these workouts, a young scout runs them, and Dorsey and his confidants watch them, and they make their decisions from there, and then they go right back to work. So that's why it's not at the stadium.
Well, that's what happens when you let Chris Tabor go. You don't have him to kick around anymore. This is what you deal with. Hey, real quick, before we let you go, Hugh Jackson said yesterday he didn't know that Zane Gonzalez was hurt. There was that report that said that he hurt his groin. Should he have known? Because well, let me ask you: should he have known? Should Hugh Jackson have known going into that?
Well, if Zane was hurt, he should have known. But nobody knew. Look, they came out on Saturday and said Gordon's not going to be here. They didn't say exactly what happened, but they said this is going to happen. Kirksey, right? Like, teams take the injury reporting rules very seriously because they have to. There are serious consequences, and it's not worth the hassle. So I did see a report come out yesterday while I was in the airport briefly, and then I did hear the Hugh conference call upon landing. But there had been nothing there. So I can't, without details, speculate who was wrong there or who's making what up or whatever. He was waived. He was not waived injured. He was not on the injury report.
Yeah.
So barring some concrete details, I can't kill the Browns for this one.
Well, because if you're Zane Gonzalez, you missed that kick on Sunday. I don't know if you're really going to tell anybody about what's going on. So
listen, we know. Remember when the kicker tore his ACL on a Friday walkthrough?
Yeah, that's right on the new turf.
So, like, teams keep guys ready. Like, sometimes even when you don't need a kicker, you work one out on a random Tuesday or two out because you tell him if something crazy would go wrong on Friday or Saturday, you just beat us in New Orleans and Miami and wherever we're going to be, right? Every team has a guy's number that if that would happen. So if Zane was hurt, even if he got hurt in a walkthrough or at the Strongsville Mall on Friday night, like, they would have called someone else. He never showed up on the injury report. There was never any indication. So, I mean, it's so valuable, as we've seen. I just can't believe that there would have been a significant injury and the Browns would have said, oh, we don't care. We're going to put him out there.
Yeah. Zach, we thank you very much for the time. Well, you know we appreciate it. All the best.
Love you guys.
Well, yeah, we love you too. Zach Jackson on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That segment brought to you by Window Nation. Shop online at windownation.com. Coming up in a bit, our tribute to Josh Gordon as he leaves. Coming up next, a little bit of what Zach just said. And also, you found some numbers that I'm going to probably fight you on because, you know, judging over these first two games, I know it wasn't overwhelming, but Tyrod's Tyrod. And right now, I am perfectly fine with that.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.